My name is Deborah Landis, and I am president of the Costume Designers Guild Local 892.
This is podtech.net. I'm Jason Lopez, and I'm here with Deborah Landis, who gave a very scintillating talk amongst three other people on this panel today about fashion and film and what they have to do with one another. And of course, we learned that they don't have a whole lot to do with one another. I wonder if you could explain what these misconceptions are.
Well, I'm going to try to explain in a nutshell. And I think the best thing to talk about is something that my husband, John Landis, pointed out. If you think about fashion, you think about the red carpet. Fashion is after the fact. And there's a lot made of the red carpet. But costume designers don't work for the red carpet. If actors weren't authentic characters on the screen in a film, they would never be nominated for a movie. And looking beautiful in a movie, looking glamorous in a movie, looking fashionable in a movie, has nothing to do with getting an Oscar nomination and being on the red carpet. And the three examples I'd like to give you are Charlize Theron in Monster, Halle Berry in Monster's Ball, and twice, the actress who starred in Million Dollar Baby, and then prior, Boys Don't Cry, Hilary Swank. These women got real, got ugly in these movies, looked magnificent on the red carpet, and won Oscars for their work. Costume designers were partly responsible for their wins, for their nominations. And, you know, if it was up to me, truthfully, I would abolish the costume design Oscar, which has really become only Oscars for period films, and tie the Oscar for costume design to the Oscar for best actor and best actress, because they're winning for authentic characterizations, for characterizations that move an audience to tears and to laughter. And we participate in that.
And that's one thing that you brought up during the panel, is that one thing that costume designers are really involved in is helping define characters. And that sounds like actually a pretty big job, and one that we in the audience may not really realize.
You shouldn't realize it, because, and you know, we're really, it's sad, we're punished for our virtuosity, because you're not supposed to notice us. If you notice a costume in a movie, it really means that we're doing our job badly. The costumes are meant to disappear into the characters, but that's what we do. We help the actor and the director discover who that person is. And we really, I said we're cultural anthropologists, half in jest, but we really are. We read that script, and that's the first thing we say to that director. Who is it? Who are these people? We don't go shopping. It's not about shopping. It's not about designer labels. And you know what? Sometimes it's about looking great, and mostly it's not about looking great.
One last question for you.
Yeah.
This has to do with people who are making independent films.
Yes.
Like the ones we're seeing at the LA Film Festival.
Absolutely, yeah.
One thing that you mentioned was that early on, of course, you started off with hardly any budget at all.
Yes.
What kind of advice could you give to people who are making $20,000, $40,000 films?
Honestly, I am teaching at, I teach at the American Film Institute and at USC School of Cinema and Television. And what I tell the young directors and young producers is that costume design is not about fashion. Costume design is only about character. That doesn't cost money. It's just being thoughtful, being introspective about who that is, and trying to be truthful about who you have on screen. And if you don't, you run the risk of sabotaging your movie.
I have to take my mother to her car.
Okay.
Do you want to walk and meet me at the restaurant?
I will.
And what can I order for you?
It doesn't matter.
Would you like a drink?
Yes, thank you.
How late will you be?
I don't know. I'll be a half hour late.
You'll be there by 9?
Yes, I'll be a half hour late. Is that okay?
And no, that's okay. But it seems like with the internet, with internet distribution, with technologies more within the reach of filmmakers, we're going to see many, many more independent filmmakers than ever before.
It's true. That's why, you know, it's very helpful when filmmakers start in the theater. Doesn't always happen. Doesn't happen a lot. I think that the art of costume design starts as a theatrical pursuit. And I think that coming from the theater, putting on, understanding that everything we do starts with a screenplay, and looking at the screenplay and figuring out who those characters are, I really don't think that has anything to do with budget at all. Big budget, small budget, we're still looking at a script. And the script can be working on a $100 movie. What's the story? In order to shoot a movie, everyone has to have a shooting schedule. There are actors, you have a call sheet, they have to know what time to show up. There's a set, even if it's a location, it's a set.
But it is. But again, the question is directed at the fact that we're going to see so many more independent filmmakers out
there. Well, you know what? I'm afraid that independent filmmakers are going to make a lot of mistakes and then discover that they can't have their lead actor in a blue T-shirt in the foreground and have extras wearing white T-shirts in the background, because sitting in dailies, they're going to find out very quickly that you won't be able to hear someone you can't see. If the lead actor is going to wear a navy blue T-shirt, everyone behind that lead actor better be in black. Right?
Right.
Because you can't hear what you can't see. And with independent filmmakers, as simple a decision of let's change those extras' shirts, or let's get different extras, or let's move them out of the scene, they will learn that in dailies the hard way if they don't go to school and take my class.
Well, thank you so much.
Not at all.
Deborah Landis, for being on this podcast.
Thank you for having me.